Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hello, this is Mary Lurson. I'm Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation and Director of Public Affairs and Government Relations for NAMM. And we are recording here, Talking Up Music Education, from the Grand Plaza at the 2017 NAMM Show. You might hear a little thumping noise on our audio because we've got a hot band on the stage, on the Grand Plaza stage. And we look up from our recording booth to the convention center where tens of thousands of people are now attending the NAMM show. So we're very excited to be here and thank our great producers and audio team for their support to make this possible. I'm here today with a very important person in my life, an important person in NAMM's professional advocacy life, and that is Leo Coco, who's a senior policy advisor for Nelson Mullins Raleigh Scarborough, NAMM's lobbying and public advocacy council in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Leo.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And you have escaped, as our previous guest, Mike Huckabee, escaped Washington, and you have escaped Washington. But tell us what's happening at the rooftop on your at your building.
My building is the closest public building to the U.S. Capitol, which means you have a very captivating view of the U.S. Capitol and the platforms for the inauguration. And on the very top of our building, which is a rooftop, CNN is broadcasting live and has been since the 1st of January, covering the events leading up to the inauguration. My firm, as it has done the past two other inaugurations, hosting a party, a viewing party, because we do have a terrace and a large room that can enable people to watch the crowds and also hear all of the speeches and activities related to President Trump's inauguration.
It was actually one of our NAMM members who came to me and said, I think that CNN is broadcasting from the roof of Leo's building, because we've had several events up on that roof. And they said, it sure looks like everything I've seen from that roof. So yes, it's pretty exciting. So
well, once you've been up there, you know the view.
You will never forget
it. You know
it.
The view, because there's no other view of the Capitol like that
one. On a clear day, you can pretty touch every monument in D.C. So Leo, share with us the background of your firms working with NAMM.
In 2004, we opened the offices of Nelson Mullins, Raleigh, and Scarborough in D.C. The firm has expanded over the past 13, 14 years into major cities in the United States. And we had the good fortune of meeting Mary Lurson that year, and actually came to the NAMM show that year.
I remember.
To learn more about NAMM and the work that it does and this incredible experience of the NAMM show every January. And during the course of the year, in conversations with Mary, we participated in a competition to represent NAMM and submitted a proposal and did a presentation. And it was like the luckiest day I had when we were selected. My background is in Congress, particularly the legislative process, but also was a senior executive employee at the U.S. Department of Education during the Clinton administration. So combining those factors and identifying the purpose of advocating for access to music and arts for all students in school, it was a perfect fit for me.
And it's been a perfect fit for us. It's amazing. That was in 2004. I do remember that year when you came to be with us here.
Yes.
And that process we went through to really vet the firm, and with the firm came another beloved partner, which was Secretary Dick Riley, who's for many, many years helped us up on the hill. So
and continues to
and
do
continues.
That.
And continues. Yeah, so
he's
grateful.
He's very, very grateful for the experience and all of the opportunities we've had to work with NAMM, and participates every year. I don't think he has missed one when we do the annual fly-in in Washington.
No, he hasn't missed one. In fact, he's been here at the NAMM show too and received our Music for Life Award.
Yes.
So over the years, since 2004, it's amazing that that is now 2017. I do not do well in my chronology. I need to people remind me of when things happen, because I think we're always working to the next best thing. But under the under your guidance and the help of all the team, everyone at Nelson Mullins, you most of all, we really evolved the NAMM Advocacy Fly-In. As I look back on the early years, we thought it was success to go with six or eight, our executive committee, and do a couple of meetings on the Hill. We called that a success because that's what we knew. And then we ramped it up. What can you tell us a little bit about what we do with the fly-in and what has led to and what we're currently doing?
The fly-in has become, you know, an event built on its own success. And the number of members of NAMM who started coming, and maybe it moved to 15, and then it moved to 30, then it moved to 50. Now we're up to
92
and counting. And it has been described by NAMM members and NAMM members of the NAMM leadership as the single most significant professional development they have ever had. And I think the success of it is that NAMM members began to feel comfortable in speaking with their members of Congress, both in the House and the Senate. But they also got very well educated on the development of policy. We've incorporated into the fly-in not just a role of advocacy, but it's moved into a day of public service. It's moved into a theme whereby we meet with leading organizations in Washington. We bring in some of the top experts, either from government or from national associations, to speak to NAMM members. We bring in people who can address issues of politics and elections, like Charlie Cook. You know, its NAMM members have just found it to be a very good format for them. And every year we try to make it a little bit better, and we try to make it a little bit more informative in bringing new kinds of people in to speak to the NAMM members.
And we're working on it again. It'll be what we pick up right after this NAMM show and get our agendas together and our speakers together and our plan with the reality that we have a new administration and a new Congress and bam, 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 off we go, right?
Into a new world.
We reorganize and keep going on the core things that we care about, the opportunity for every child to learn music. I mean, that's what keeps us going and keeps us sort of picking up, you know, our pulling our bootstraps up and just moving forward. So.
And that's who the people who are our champions, either from the outgoing administration, that was 8 years, we've been talking to members of Congress. They were rewriting the No Child Left Behind law for over 10 years. NAMM had the vision, the tenacity, the understanding that things don't happen overnight. It takes a long time. But that over a decade of conversations and involving NAMM members in conversations branded NAMM as an organization that is focused on access and equality in terms of students and their ability to have music education and arts education, you know, in their schools. And the research that has been conducted over the past 10 years has backed that up. And so when we walk into a policymaker's office, we have credibility, we have a strength of purpose and a clarity of what we are hoping they can do for us. And it's when you have that kind of integrity and you have that kind, you instill that kind of confidence, people are much more willing to go out and try to help you and work with you toward your goals.
And I think that has elevated our NAM members. I think that's where they've gone from a sense of caution. How could I ever be able to walk into, let's say, the Capitol? And we've had NAM members have had meetings with our leadership in their Capitol offices, and there's the perception in our media and how we're consuming our media that this is apart from us. This is an experience that we can't have. And by having the fly-in, our NAM members, we provide information. They're trained. We even role play on how to do a meeting. And they do. I mean, it's been a great joy of my life to see these really brilliant business people that are creating such success in their communities and for their employees and for music education locally to come and realize what great capacities they have to do this direct advocacy work. And then they take it back home. And it strengthens their work at home as well. So,
and when they return, they also mentor the new NAM members who come in. And they see that as a fundamental role, I think, of their leadership in general, but certainly how they can help NAM members become more comfortable in the role of being an advocate and at that federal level.
And, you know, and to be very blue sky high-minded for a moment, that is the essence of what we really need to live for every day now, is to be that citizen advocate.
Yes.
More important than ever. What do you think our NAM members have learned, if you could summarize, as you've watched NAM members go through this process, and the ones that have come back the second year, the third year, the seventh year, the 10th year, and still keep learning? What do you think they're learning?
I think they have developed a healthy respect for the institutions of government. I think that they understand how Congress works better. I think they're more tolerant in terms of the fact that it takes time for change to happen. I think when you're of a business mind, you really think you put in an action plan with four steps and you accomplish that goal. I think they see how complicated the institution of government is. And I think that's been a life-changing realization.
I think several of them are watching C-SPAN and they never thought they would.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the bottom line.
And then to actually have something occur, even though it took 10 years for members of Congress to get it done, they saw the timing of how it got done. They saw that.
The new education law.
They saw that after so much time of. And Congress was holding hearings, they were writing legislation in committee. It just wasn't going anywhere, and the House and the Senate were not in sync in terms of how to get things done. And they saw the difference that one person can make when they come in as leader, and that was Senator Lamar Alexander, who took the leadership of the Senate committee that writes legislation on education, and how it was a bipartisan approach. It worked, and how we really did get so much of what we wanted in a new law. We wanted the old law fixed. We wanted those unintended consequences removed. But we started talking about music and arts education as part of a well-rounded education back in 2006. Mary, you and I wrote a bill.
I remember, we wrote language.
And, you know, all through it was well-rounded. That's how we approached it. And to see that phrase, which I'm sure there were a lot of people who were thinking about that phrase, but when we took it and shopped it in Congress over a long period of time in both the House and the Senate, made modifications to it, but to see it become a major theme that runs through the new law, in addition to having music listed as a well-rounded subject for the first time separately, I think when NAM members saw that accomplishment, it validates everything that we've been doing for the past 10, 12 years.
Yeah, I agree. And then a new set of work began, and that's, you know, we'll talk about that in a moment. Why is it so important that our NAM members understand that a connection to their elected official really matters?
I think they
Why does it really matter? That's really my question.
It matters because I think they understand how they can be part of a process, how they can be part of a political process and a legislative process, that it's really their responsibility to work with their members of Congress, to feel comfortable doing that, to help integrate that member of Congress into the part of the community where they are so active. And I think to have that ability, you know, and the confidence to develop that relationship just gives them so much more credibility in terms of what they think they can do in terms of now, in particular, moving forward with those policies from the new law that will be really decided at the state and local level. You know, the hard part was developing those relationships and understanding how to do that. It really does prepare them now to move forward with continued relationship building at this at the state level, and particularly at the school district level in their communities.
Yeah, and I think they're doing that very vigorously right now with our new state coalitions that have developed. And they had relationships at the state in the district level, but they didn't know that they could also engage in these type of conversations.
Right.
I think it was always as many times on transactional around the services directly to the district, as opposed to are you pulling down on the policy side and the funding that's available and looking at the needs assessment and looking at the accountability plans. The NAM members are equipped to carry that information forward. And I have to say, I don't have the number, but I have numerous examples of members of Congress visiting our NAM members in their businesses. In fact, some really deep relationships developing. You know, and it just can't hurt.
No.
I mean, it's you know, to realize the power of the constituent to the elected official is the essence of it all.
Right. And I think also with some of these elected officials going into the schools, particularly for winners of best communities, you know, for music education and just the whole concept of music education in terms of strengthening the quality of a school. And also them understanding better in greater detail how music programs at school work so effectively in terms of keeping kids in school and providing that kind of education.
So let's jump to the Element Every Student Succeeds Act, ESSA, signed by President Obama into law, thank goodness, December 15, 2016, ahead of the transition. In other words, it's not going to be an issue. This reauthorization of this education law is not going to be an active issue of the new administration. It's done, one and done. And we have some good things that we fought for and we worked really hard on. You mentioned it earlier. So let's ask two questions. What are you most excited about with ESSA? And what are you most worried about with ESSA?
I think most excited about is that it is done. You know, I still kind of look back in awe and going back to lessons learned by NAM members, by me, by you, Mary, is that things happen at the right time, at the right moment when they can happen. And that's what happened in 2015. And so there was kind of a window there. And as I said, Senator Alexander seized the day and said, this is the year we're getting this done, and it got done. And so that's what is the reality. Now, might there be some tweaks, some changes to the law? Yes. But when you have the writers of that law sitting up in Congress, and they know how hard they work to get it done, they're not going to want that law messed with. They feel like, and there have been expressions, certainly by the incoming new administration, that it is the law of the land and it was a bipartisan bill and that it should,
and it got a lot of things done that everybody wanted. I mean, it's no law is perfect, but it accomplished many of the things that were really needed in terms of the revision from No Child Left Behind. So I'm sure that someone will always want more, someone will always want different, but this is, and I agree with you. I actually, I haven't given it much thought, but I feel better that I don't have to work on that right now.
Yes.
I honestly, I never really put it in those terms, but when in those many years of working, every year kind of hitting the legislative cycle and knowing we had to work on ESSA, or it wasn't called ESSA then, the reauthorization, boy, it was always a heavy lift because you just didn't know what was waiting for you on the other side. That legislative term, that next election cycle, you know, who was going to be on the committees, what. And at least we have a pause in working on that. It doesn't mean that we're not working on the state level, but yeah, I too am really glad it's done.
And
I never thought long enough and long and hard enough to realize how glad I am that it's done.
And the Department of Education during 2016 did try to, through a negotiated rulemaking process where they actually write rules and regulations and propose them. There were some very strong things that were coming out there that related specifically to funding Title I schools, but also to assessments. And those rules got through, but they're going nowhere because the new Congress, as well as the new administration, are just going to not allow those things to be enforced and moved forward. And I guess the one thing that we should also be grateful for is the fact that these members of Congress are going to be watching to make sure that the law is implemented based on the intent of the law, which, you know, is, I think, exactly what's going to happen.
And advocates, including our NAM members now who are working in their states, are going to be watching too.
Yes.
Because they want to see this equity and access and the funding through Title I come down the way it was planned to. So it's complicated, but at the same time, it can't be too complicated that we don't act on what we care about. Right? So what are your predictions? And not specific, you don't have to go in, you don't have to name names, Leo. What are your predictions for the U.S. Department of Ed? You spent a lot of your career there. Every year at the fly-in, we've had someone from the Department of Ed join us at the fly-in with updates. We've established deep relationships on the professional staff there. We've done briefings at the Department of Ed with our researchers and also hosted celebrations. We took the John Lennon educational tour bus and parked it right in front of the Department of Ed with when Secretary Duncan was there. So we really worked hard to bring our message to those professionals. Where are we? January 2017.
I think
what's
deeply
next?
Within the Department of Education, professionals stay. They stay from administration to administration. And NAM is very well respected, very well branded within the department as being a substantive organization that delivers in terms of its the policies that they want to work with the department on in getting delivered. But they also have a lot of credibility because of the research that's been done and shared with the Department of Education. Any research that has come out of NAM in the past 8-9 years has been previewed at the Department of Education before it goes anywhere. So it's showing them that level of respect. That's going to remain there.
And we need to keep doing that.
And we need to keep doing that. And we need to look at the new political leadership, you know, as it moves in. And begin to educate them about the work that NAM does and why it's important. And we'll do that step by step and in terms of building relationships with that political appointed staff of the new administration.
Great. I'm all on that, all with you on that. And I also feel that for what we care about so deeply, music education, access and opportunity, so let's give them a win on this, right? Let's give the leadership of this administration, because we want to win for kids. We want to win for kids' opportunity. This is not a partisan topic. We have to understand the partisan relationships. We have to understand the issues from a partisan perspective. But we have to push through to communicate what we care about. And
That's how we were successful in terms of ESSA in 2015 right. In particular, is surgically going to the members of the committee, Republican, Democrat. You know, we needed them both. We needed them both sides of the aisle on that committee. In support of what we were doing.
We have to go counter to the prevailing attitudes. Somehow that partisan approach is, you know, where we have to evaluate our positions. No, we're just not going to do that. Yeah. We're just going to keep, because we worked through two administrations already in succeeding in terms of moving the message forward. Right. So, but I think when we feel so separated, we have to be the force to build some bridges here on this issue. So, final thoughts about the importance of direct advocacy, Leo. You've taught us. You are our mentor and teacher. You know, we strategize a lot of legal pads between us over the years, getting aligned with other organizations, or sometimes when they weren't aligned, having those conversations to try to seek alignment. Never not saying music and arts education, always saying music and arts education.
Yes. Yes.
That we lead with music education but are inclusive of every creative opportunity for every child. So what's the next challenge and opportunity for us in terms of the importance of direct advocacy?
I think we need to continue with congressional advocacy, the continued beating of the drum of what NAM is, what Advocates for Music Education are all about, presenting them with research and having that direct contact by their constituents, the NAM members, in terms of meetings. I think we've worked way too hard on those relationships. We have to keep those going. I think it's time to also look at the other intergovernmental organizations in Washington, the National Governors Association, the Council of Chief State School Officers, the National Council of State Legislatures. All of those are pivotal organizations in terms of the way that ESSA will be, the plans will be written, approved, implemented in their states. And while it's necessary to advocate on the state and local level, I think we can have a great impact in terms of working with those national organizations, introducing NAM members to the state offices of their governors that reside in Washington. And also, I think working with other national education associations, be it the National Education Association, or whether it be other professional organizations that focus on access and equity for students. The universe is very big in terms of the people that we can talk to about this issue and bring into the work that we do. And of course, those that deal specifically with music and arts education, whether it's NAFME or Americans for the Arts, National League of Orchestras.
Mm-hmm. The League of American Orchestras.
League of American Orchestras. And strengthen our coalitions and work with them is the right way for us to go.
Well, Leo Coco, thank you so much for being here in Anaheim. It's not quite as sunny and warm as we had all had thought, but we are having it rained here earlier this morning. The tent that we're under here actually filled up, and we had a bit of an avalanche, or not an avalanche because it's not snowing, but a little waterfall off of our tent. But people are out on the plaza enjoying live music. NAM show is cranking up. I haven't been to the hall yet, but I will later today. Have you been in the hall?
I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it cranking already?
It is.
Halls are.
Thursday's a great day because there's less foot traffic.
Even on Thursday, yeah. It feels like the energy is building already. But we are extremely grateful for our ongoing collaboration, Leo. You have been a spirit guide for our organization in terms of demystifying the reality of direct advocacy. You have a huge fan base here at the NAM show. You know that when you come, everyone wants to chat and imagine what our next fly-in will be like. And soon we'll be back together in Washington on that fly-in. But I'll be seeing you soon in D.C. because we have a lot of planning to do, a lot of work to do as we prepare for that. And I would encourage all of you listening today to consider how some of that, what we've talked about, might be able to, that you could take it up directly in your own community. We talk about talking to a member of Congress. It could be you talking to your school board member. It could be you visiting with your superintendent of schools and offering to help to strengthen the school music education program and the school arts education program. Advocacy can happen everywhere. It can happen in our federal level, in our state capitals, and most importantly, maybe, in our own communities. So we hope this episode of Talking at Music Education has helped you understand our commitment to advocacy and inspired you to be equally involved with direct advocacy where you live. So stay tuned for more recordings of live here from the NAMM show, and thank you for joining us at Talking at Music Education.
The NAMM Foundation would like to thank Vocal Booth for their support in providing a recording booth for these podcasts recorded live at NAMM 2017. Whether you're recording, rehearsing, tracking, mixing, or overdubbing, Vocal Booth has a solution that's right for you. Learn more at vocalbooth.com.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.